Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the program. Monday through Friday, 10-minute segment, hosted here at Blog Talk Radio. Chuck Morse, your veteran talk show host. Treason. Yes, indeed. Treason. This agreement between the United States and Iran is something that, besides the fact that it runs contrary to all American values, it contradicts all of our way of life here. And besides the fact that it enables a brutal totalitarian dictatorship that is oppressing its own people, that's slaughtering women for appearing in public without the company of a man, or without their bodies entirely covered up in cloths, or beheading homosexuals. Besides the brutality and the evil and the ugliness of that Mullah regime, what we have done is we have given them a green light toward further proliferating nuclear bombs, which is obviously, on the surface, insane. This is a government and a regime that seeks to annihilate the entire planet in their goal to create a one-world government under Sharia. They want to impose a one-world government because that's their religion. That's what they believe in. They think that just like that, because there's one God in heaven, and that's their God, Allah, there ought to be one government on earth. Maybe that resonates with some of the sort of elitist Eastern Seaboard establishment types who perhaps think they can make common cause with such a despicable idea. After all, these are the same people that made common cause with the two great socialist experiments of the 20th century. Well, at least many of them did, those being the Nazi experiment and the communist experiment. So we have an agreement by which not only is Iran going to be allowed to continue building their nuclear bomb and get missiles and military hardware delivered because of the lifting of the embargo, but they're going to be allowed to trade on the open market, which maybe is part of this as well, because oil is involved, and people are going to make a quick buck from that. They're being given, applicably and bizarrely, something in the vicinity of, I don't know, $10 billion in American taxpayer money. For what? Why are we giving them money so that we can crawl on the ground and beg them to sign this agreement? Oh, please sign this, and we'll give you a check if you do. Why would the American man and woman earning income want to shell out money for the Iranian mullahs? What possible justification is there for that? How can we, as rational, patriotic, regular American citizens, get our mind around this? Will there ever be a straight answer for it? Apparently, there's another little codicil in this agreement, which actually provides money, maybe this is part of where the billions are going to help secure Iran's nuclear facilities and to make sure that they are not attacked. Attacked by whom? Israel? Yes. In other words, we're helping Iran not only develop their nuclear bomb, but we're helping them secure it so that they can have it without worry about any sabotage. The agreement is throwing off the balance of power in the Middle East, not just with Israel, but apparently with the Sunni governments in Saudi Arabia and in Iraq and in Egypt, where you have a conflict between them and the Shiites who run Iran. This is something that could lead not just to a world war, but more immediately and apparently, this could contribute to the proliferation of weapons of all types, not just conventional weapons, but possibly nuclear weapons. After all, if Iran is going to have a nuclear bomb, apparently Saudi Arabia will make the case for having a nuclear bomb, as will Algeria, apparently, and other countries in the region. And if people don't think this could happen, well, we know that, for example, in the 1990s, Pakistan got a nuclear bomb, and in the 1980s, it was for late 1970s, it was India that got a nuclear bomb. So here we have this regime, that being the Obama administration, creating a policy that results not only in nuclear proliferation, but in a form of nuclear proliferation that puts nuclear bombs in the hands of our enemies and of an enemy of sovereign nations, an enemy that seeks to aggressively expand and conquer not only its neighbors, but ultimately the entire planet. I've heard left-wingers say, well, what about the fact that Israel has a nuclear bomb? Well, first of all, I don't think that there's a country on the face of the earth that would have more of a justification to having a nuclear bomb than Israel. Israel is surrounded on all sides by forces that seek to completely annihilate it and slaughter every Jewish man, woman, and child and Holocaust survivor in the country. No, there is not a single case where a country has a greater moral justification for arming itself with any weapon it can possibly get. Obviously, Israel isn't planning on nuking a country because they want to create a world government like Iran does. Israel isn't seeking to set up militias that are going to attack Iran on its borders. Israel is planning on defending itself, obviously. And to compare the two is absurd. It's like, you know, we could point out, by the way, that Great Britain and France have nuclear bombs. Is anyone thinking of those countries as being, you know, seeking to conquer the world at this point? Maybe they were in the 19th century, but we're talking today. I mean, this is the idea of having Iran have a nuclear bomb, completely contrary to not just American interests, but the interests of the West. Well, the Obama administration is justifying this treaty by saying, well, what would we rather have, war? Is that really what this comes down to? Capitulating to their threats that they're going to have a war if we don't give them their nuclear bomb, if we don't lift the sanctions? We're going to have war by giving them the bomb. There is no possible sane reason why we could not. We didn't have to go to war there. But we certainly could have continued a strong policy of containment, one by which we would continue to choke off their economic benefit. Of course, I think is part of why this was done, because there are people who have economic interests who are going to make a lot of money from ending the sanctions. But if we had really been operating in our national interests, we would have tightened the embargo. We would have clearly and decisively identified the nature of this enemy and contrasted it with our own system, just like Franklin Roosevelt did at Casablanca when he talked about Nazism and the imperative to destroy it, and he compared it to the American free system. He called for the unconditional surrender of the Nazis, just like Ronald Reagan did when he talked of the evil empire, the Soviet Union. The left howled in rage. But the fact is that Reagan, by identifying the nature of the Soviet communism and contrasting it to our own system of freedom, and by tightening the screws on Russia economically, but more importantly, by identifying the evil nature of their regime and the destructiveness of it to their own people, Reagan and other Western leaders and other free-oriented people like Margaret Thatcher and Lech Walesa in Poland, Pope John Paul II, these people brought the Soviet Union and communism to its knees simply by and without firing a shot. There was no war. Nobody was shot other than Gorbachev, I think, slaughtering a few people as he went out the door. This was done without as a moral cause, as a civil rights cause, if you will. We could go back to the Civil War, when after the victory of Vicksburg, General Ulysses S. Grant spoke of unconditional surrender for the rebels, for the Southern Rebellion. Nothing less than unconditional surrender. And it turned the tide of that war. You know, this is a psychological situation. We don't have to groveling and worrying about making peace with the mullahs. We should stand up to the mullahs and say, you represent an idea or set of ideas that are contrary to ours. And here's what they are. Oppression of people, forced conversions, beheadings of people, women being treated like their property. You know, we don't accept that, and we're not going to come in and conquer you, but we're not going to let you go ahead and develop weapons of mass destruction. Here you have a weapon of mass destruction right under their nose. Remember all the screaming and caterwauling about George Bush with the Iraq War because, oh, there were no weapons of mass destruction? Well, I think in this case, there's no question that the Iranians have these nuclear facilities. That's not even a controversy. That's admitted. And yet here we are giving them the green light. So I say treason. Treason by, on the world stage, of the highest degree, treason against American values. We got nothing for it in return. We got a promise from Iran. Please. I mean, there's absolutely bizarre. You know, I heard my colleague on WRKO, Howie Carr, mention, and I think he's right, that at least Neville Chamberlain, when he signed an agreement with Hitler in 1938, the Munich Accords, at least his heart was in the right place. He could see the storm clouds of war in Europe. He didn't want to have another war. So he thought maybe he could make a deal with Hitler. He was wrong, obviously. War broke out within a year. You know, the point is, or maybe it was a year and a half, but the point is that with Obama and John Kerry, are they really trying to stave war? I mean, is that what this is about? There's not going to be any war. We have our sanctions. We have military there. We have allies there, including some big allies against Iran, like Saudi Arabia, like Turkey. You know, this wasn't a situation that was moving. There was no crisis. They always talk about there being the crisis of healthcare, surrender your freedom. The crisis of immigration, allow illegals to come in. Well, in this case, again, there's a crisis. Why is there always a crisis? There's no crisis. This is a flat-out surrender, a complete capitulation, where they are aiding and abetting an enemy of the United States. This is a tease at its worst. And, you know, it's the reasons behind it, why Obama's doing it, who he is, that's a big question. That's something maybe we'll get into in the coming weeks. But suffice it to say that the results are an absolute catastrophe. This is a complete disgrace. And I just hope that the U.S. Senate has enough shreds of patriotism left to stop this. Just like Henry Cabot Lodge stopped the League of Nations in 1920. Let's hope we have another Henry Cabot Lodge who can come along now and do the right thing. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening. Check out my books available at Amazon or Amazon Kindle. Just put my name in the server, Chuck Morse, M-O-R-S-E, like Morse code, and you'll see about 15 books come up. And check Tube Show, that's up on YouTube, Chuck Morse Speaks. And have a good day, everybody.